Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the Book of Esther. We're learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And we're in Paragimel, we're in chapter 3, and Mordechai is refusing to bow to Haman. And this creates a big problem, meaning, obviously, it creates a big problem for Mordechai and the Jews. And we look at it, it's fairly clear in the Megillah at first, when it says in chapter 3, sentence 2, V'chol avdei ha-melech asher b'shar ha-melech kore'im u'mishtachavim le-haman. All of the servants of the king at the gate of the king kneel and bow to Haman. And we've already noted the question of, is this just for those who are at the gate, their status, or is this the entire kingdom? That's not our focus right now. But it's Mordechai who will refuse. Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachaveh. Mordechai does not kneel. Mordechai does not bow. And the problem is that Tanakh is filled with good Jews bowing to people, Jewish and non-Jewish. So why is Mordechai refusing? Abraham bows to his three visitors in Bereishis chapter 18, sentence 2. Avram bows to the Chiti in Bereishis chapter 3, sentence 7. Yaakov bows to Esav in Bereishis chapter 33, sentence 3. And granted that we criticize Yaakov in Medrash for his obsequiousness, no one calls it idolatry the way that a lot of people do regarding Haman. Bereishis chapter 42, sentence 6, the Shvatim, Yosef's brothers, bow to the person they think is the viceroy of Egypt. Not only that, Mordechai is going to continue to refuse to bow. This Professor Yonatan Grossman notes this. Mordechai is going to continue to refuse to bow in chapter 5, sentence 9, even when it becomes very clear that he is endangering everybody by doing so. So what is this about when in Bereishis we had no issue with bowing to people? So two overarching approaches, of which there are different versions beneath them. Overarching approach number one is this was considered to be a form of idolatry. Overarching approach number two is that it's about Jewish identity. So today we'll get into the idolatry suggestions, and I think the others are going to take until tomorrow. But there are four different ways to read the idea that this was idolatry. Three, and then there's an interesting fourth. The first view is presented in a Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. It's also the view of Rava in a Gemara in Sanhedrin. And that is the view that Haman made himself into Avodah Zarah. This is seen in the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, which is based on a pasuk in Esther chapter 8, sentence 26. Esther chapter 8, sentence 26. Excuse me, not sentence 26. It is, there we go, chapter 9, sentence 26. That's a mistake. The Al Kain Karu'u La'yamim Ha'ela Furim Al Shem HaPur, the text says. Because of this, the story that is reported right before chapter 9, sentence 26, because of this, they called these days Purim Al Shem HaPur, named for the lottery, which hopefully we'll get to. That's its own discussion. Because of this, because all of the words of this scroll, umara'u al-kacha umahigia alehem, and what they saw on this, and what reached them, what happened to them. So what is that referring to? What does that mean? What they saw from this, or what they saw because of this? Like, what are you talking about? So says the Gemara in Megillah, Yotesamad Aleph, Ma ra'a Mordechai de ikni b'Haman. What did Mordechai see that made him anger Haman? Al kacha. Because of this, deshavi nafshei avodah zarah. Because Haman made himself into an avodah zarah. So bowing to Haman is bowing to an idol. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Samach Aleph Amud Beis, says, Ha'oved avodah zarah me ahava u'meyira. If somebody worships idolatry out of love, or out of fear. So Rava says he's exempt from liability. And in this discussion there about what exactly that means, what is love, what is fear, what does it mean that you're exempt from liability, according to Rava, as part of all of this, Rava says that the prohibition is specifically in the event that it's like Haman. And you have to see the Gemara in Sanhedrin. I'm not going to go into it in a 10-minute Dvar Torah. But the key line in all of this is that Rava says there that Haman was worshipped as an avodah zarah, as an idol. Haman de ihu gufei avodah zarah. Haman made himself into a foreign god. So bowing to Haman would be bowing to an avodah zarah. But really, what does that mean? So the Malbim offers an interesting explanation, perhaps slightly anachronistic, I'm not sure. But listen to what the Malbim says. This is my translation of it. He says, regarding the reason why Mordechai refused to bow to him, commentators have explained that it was because such bowing would be a form of accepting divinity. Thus, the early nations, believers in illusions, ascribed to anyone who was found to possess a greater level of wisdom or might or wealth that he was a son of the gods, or that a particular star or celestial force influenced him. As it is said of Nebuchadnezzar, this is from the second chapter in Daniel, and he, Nebuchadnezzar, worshipped Daniel and said that offerings should be brought before him when Daniel was able to identify and explain Nebuchadnezzar's dream. So, because Haman was somebody who was seen to have unique talent, we don't know here what the talent is, but he certainly has power, therefore, he was assumed to be a son of the god, or that there is some kind of a star or celestial force influencing him, and that's why Mordechai refuses to bow. This is associating Haman with a god. And Rashi says this explicitly. Rashi in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Samach Aleph Amud Beis, that I referenced before, says, Sha'asa atzmo avodah zarah, Haman made himself a foreign god. Kedamar b'Megillah, he references the Gemara in Megillah Yates Amud Aleph, that we have already seen. And he says, De'ilavachi, Rashi says, if it were not so, lo hava Mordechai misgarabo, Mordechai wouldn't have started a fight with him. Vayakareyo mishtachavelo, Mordechai would have kneeled and bowed. Mordechai's refusal is because Haman is identifying himself as an idol. So this is one version of the idea that bowing would have been worship of Avodah Zarah. A second version of it is found in the Medrash in Esther Rabbah, which says, Ma asa Haman, what did Haman do? Asa lo tselem merukam al begadav. He made an embroidered form on his clothing, ve'alibo, and on his chest. So if you bow to Haman, you are bowing to the idol. He's wearing an idol around his neck. Why would he do that? To get the Jews to worship Avodah Zarah. Tosos in Sanhedrin, Samach Aleph Amud Beis, quotes this idea approvingly. It's not that Haman is personally a god, it's that Haman is wearing a god. The Ibn Ezra takes this view in Esther chapter 3, sentence 2. One wonders, I wonder anyway, if this was a little bit of an anti-Christian polemic, because priests wore crosses around their neck and demanded acts demonstrating that you are loyal to this God they are advertising. So I wonder about that possibility that maybe it could be. There are those who think that portions of Esther Rabbah are relatively late, and certainly after the Christians were doing this, because we know that there were already what are called pectoral crosses, crosses worn on the chest as early as the 5th century. So it's possible that that's what Esther Rabbah is doing here. It's presenting Haman like somebody who's wearing a cross around their neck. But this is the second school of thought, that Mordechai won't bow not because Haman is an idol, but because Haman is wearing an idol. Third idea, this is brought in Tosfos in Sanhedrin, Samach Aleph Amud Beis, is that it wasn't that Haman declared himself an idol. It wasn't that Haman was wearing an idol. It was that there was a fear of appearing to worship Avodah Zarah. This was a matter of appearances. That was the problem, according to Tosfos in Sanhedrin, Samach Aleph Amud Beis. And he references Yerushalmi. There's Yerushalmi in Shvius, which talks about concern for desecrating God's name in public, and it says that one should not listen even to a light instruction of somebody who's trying to get you to do something that looks like rejection of God. And it gives an example of two brothers, Lilianus and Pappus, shenasnu lehem mayim b'klei zechuchis tzivua. They, the idolaters, gave them water in a colored glass. Apparently this would have looked like some kind of idolatrous thing. V'lo kiblu, I'm not a dollar, sorry. It looked like wine. That was the concern in the Yerushalmi. It would have looked like wine. It would look like they were drinking non-kosher wine. And as a result, lo kiblu mehen, they rejected it. They didn't want to appear to be drinking non-kosher wine. You can't appear to be doing something inappropriate. And Mordechai was concerned lest he appear to worship Avodah Zarah by bowing to Haman. So Professor Amos Chacham, commenting on Esther chapter 3, sentence 2 in the Dot Mikra edition, says, you know, you can support the idea that it was idolatry from the fact that it uses the term Kriya V'Hishtachavaya, this double term for bowing, kneeling and bowing. He says that's only found for religious acts in Tanakh. So that supports the idea that the concern, in fact, was a concern for idolatry. It also would explain why Mordechai only refuses to bow to Haman. Mordechai has been in exile for decades, we said, since Yechaniah went into exile, which is before Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And, you know, it could be that Mordechai has been refusing to bow all along and just nobody ever made an issue of it. It could be that Haman and Achashverosh were egregious in creating this situation here, and now Mordechai is refusing to bow. It could be he's been bowing all along, but now he says, this idolatry association, that's something that I can't do. Maybe. But it would also explain, if you look in Esther chapter 3, sentence 4, which I am just scrolling to right now, the servants of the king at the gate say to Mordechai, why are you violating the king's command for people to bow? And they say this to Mordechai day after day, v'lo shama aleihem, and he's not listening to them. V'yagidu lehaman, and they told Haman liros to see, hayamdu divrei Mordechai, would Mordechai's words stand? What are Mordechai's words? Ki higid lahem asher hu Yehudi. He told them that he was a Jew. Now, Mordechai is already known as a Jew. We said that in chapter 2. He is Ish Yehudi, and we know that he is known at the Shaar HaMelech, at the gate. It's not saying, in general, they knew Mordechai was Jewish, or that now Mordechai told them, brand new surprise, by the way, I'm a Jew. What's going on is they're asking him, why are you refusing to bow? And Mordechai is linking his Judaism with his motivation. So it's not just, I don't like Haman, it's I'm a Jew, so therefore I won't bow to Haman, suggesting that this is a religious decision. So all of this supports the idea that the reason why Mordechai will not bow is because it would be a form of idolatry. Now tomorrow what I want to do is show you a fourth version of the idolatry concern from Yoram Chazoni. I think it's a wild idea. That's what I would say. And then move to the other side of this, which is that it isn't about idolatry, rather it is about Jewish identity.